Hang up there. Our God and God of our fathers, we just want to thank you for this nice cool weather. We thank you for this beautiful building. We ask you to bless Village Church and their future and their impact on this community. And I just thank you for the doors that are opening for us to reach out into a lot of new places. Lord, I thank you for David Dioria and the new building and the dedication. And last week was Isaac's bar mitzvah. And a lot of us were at their wedding. Now he's a bar mitzvah. Lord, thank you for that family. And thank you for the way that we had a part in beginning that congregation. It's flourishing. Thank you. May they have an impact in the state of Washington. Lord, we just lift up this holiday season as it's coming upon us, and I pray that we would be prepared and understand what that means and be looking within and asking the questions, are we right with you? And then doing the things that are necessary to get things straightened out and put in proper order, that as we look at these holidays, we will be able to remember why you gave them to us and thank you for them and see Yeshua the Messiah in them as the center of all of them. And we're grateful for the gifts you've given to us, the gift of your word, the written word, and the gift of the living word, the Messiah himself. And I pray this morning that our eyes and hearts would be opened and listen to you, that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher, that we would hear from you and act upon what we hear. Lord, I ask you to bless those that are in this project, the Meet Your Neighbors project from Saddleback Church. Lord, I thank you for the way you've used that community to reach out and make a difference in Southern California. And I thank you for the bridges and links that have become a part of us and them. And I pray for open doors for the future, for better understanding and finding better ways to reach out and bless Jewish people. Lord, we thank you again for this time today and ask your anointing upon our service in Yeshua's name. Amen. Please be seated. So let's start with why. We go back to, well, why celebrate the holidays? You know, the Jewish holidays. Except the Bible never calls them that. Never calls them the Jewish holidays. You all know that, don't you? What are they called? What are the festivals called? By the way, the term feast, it means festival. Doesn't that imply something like enjoyable? Something happy? It certainly does. And legalistic, right? Why, the legalism part, you have to understand, the especially the part about where God says, I require you to rejoice before me for 7 days. Man, what a bummer. Don't you want to just wish that was gone? 7 days of fun? Oh, man. They're not called the Jewish feasts. They're called the feasts of the Lord. They're his. It's very interesting. Why did he give them? Put us under some kind of bondage and legalistic thing? You know what? The reason he gave those was that the Messiah would be revealed. Each of those is a picture of the Messiah, a different picture of who he is and what he would do. Every holiday has three aspects to it. We start by remembering things. Remembering what God did in time past. Every one of them has something to do with the past, with heritage and history of God's chosen people and of Israel. Every one of them has to do something about what is he doing today? That's a good question. What is the Lord doing today in your lives? Boy, that was a lot of fun last night talking about that at our dinner table. And I'll tell you what, we really had a neat group. The group we had is reaching all over the world. All over the world. And we said, yes, that's it. You're doing the right stuff. We want to do it with you. It was really neat. But then the other aspect is that God still has promised he's going to do other things, yet future. Some of that future is like right upon us in these end times. And so when you look at the holidays, each one has all three of those aspects. But you can look at certain aspects and miss the point. The point is it reveals the Messiah. It reveals an aspect of who he is and what he has done. And this year, I pray that's what you'll see. That he is the focus, the focal point of every one of these holidays. So why celebrate the holidays? Well, I guess I'm answering my question a little bit, huh? Because some people will say, well, you know, now that we're believers, we don't have to do that stuff anymore because they've been fulfilled. Well, hang on to that term, all right? Let's just go back and be students for a few minutes. And ask the question, why? And it's two parts. Should Jewish people celebrate these? Jewish people who are believers in Yeshua, have they been removed from this? And the next one is, should people who aren't Jewish, who are believers in Yeshua, celebrate these holidays? Or can they? You know, the rejoicing part, be thinking about that, okay? Because God wants us to enjoy Him and all that He does. All that He's done for us as a believer, we are to enjoy. We are to enjoy. Well, first of all, they're all a teaching tool, all of them. And especially to our children. We're teaching our children our heritage, what God has done, what He wants, you know, what He's like, all these things. It helps us to understand the Scriptures. It's a teaching tool. We get historical information. What our history is about. You know, this is the history book of God's chosen people right here. It's interesting that in Israel, this is the history book, by the way, today. Kind of cool, huh? But biblical and historical information. Each festival tells the story of what God said, of what God did. And it's all linked together, and it paints a picture. Now, we don't forget experiences. Now, when we go to Israel, when you go to Israel, okay, prophetically speaking, April 22nd is our next trip, all right? When you go, what do we do on our trips? Well, other than run real fast from place to place, right, Doris? Okay, you did. Doris did everything. Yeah, we pray. But what we do is we go to a location, a place, a biblical spot. What do we there? We remember what God did in that spot. We remember. We take our Bibles out, we read it, we talk about it, we discuss it, we pray there. But we remember. God wants us to remember. And over again, we're in the book of Deuteronomy in our annual cycle of reading. Take a look at that. Over and over and over again, He says, remember and forget not. Remember and forget not. He wants us to remember. So how do we best remember things? Through experiences. Through experiences. So in thousands of years of Jewish history, all of these traditions have come together in these holidays to form experiences. Each unique experience in each holiday, we hear about the biblical event. The story is told, okay? And then we have special foods. Last night was good, all right? We taste, we smell, we touch, okay? We sing special songs every holiday. And then we discuss the events. All that comes together so we will remember and not forget what God has done. And each holiday is a declaration of what God said in His Word, a declaration of what God did in history past and what He's promised to do for us in the future. They tell us about Him. They tell us about Him. Each one as well as a picture of Yeshua, the Messiah. It's a picture of Him, both prophetic and fulfilled. Because today we'll talk a little bit about what's been fulfilled and what that means, all right? Yeshua celebrated these holidays. He celebrated these. When He was physically present with us 2,000 years ago, He celebrated all of these. His disciples continued to do that through the book of Acts, through the writing of all the epistles. The book of John, just as one example, has, for those of you trivia people, okay, contains 879 verses. Write that one down, all right? Now, 660 of those are directly related to the events occurring during biblical holidays, the festivals, the feasts. In other words, this is saying, what did Yeshua say and do at the feasts? Including Hanukkah, by the way. Interesting, isn't it? So it's just what John says, by the way, I want to weave this picture from feast to feast, from feast to feast, and connect. They're all connected one to the other. Because sometimes what Yeshua would do at one feast, He would start something and then finish it at the next one. But they didn't remember, they didn't forget what He started. They came back, excuse me, remember last time you were here? And away they went. And He would link them together. The early believers, historically, both Jews and Gentiles, both continued celebrating all these holidays up until the year 321. Some other time we'll talk about what happened that year. It was not good news. Historically, it was bad news. God calls these appointed times. Appointed times. An appointment. Do we have an appointment? Do we have an appointment with Him? Or is it that maybe He has an appointment with us? Think about that. That's Leviticus 23:1-4. In these, he reveals the Messiah and himself. We remember, and every one of these things we do, listen carefully, we do in remembrance of him. We do what we do in remembrance of him. By the way, God also said to do it. He told us to do it. And he said, rejoice when you do it. It's supposed to be fun. It's supposed to be fun. Remember and forget not. The spring festivals, the spring holidays, prophetically speak of the first coming of Yeshua, the first coming of the Messiah, and what he would do. The fall holidays speak of his second coming and what he would do. What's interesting is that some of those events have partially been fulfilled. Not all, but partially. We're right on the edge, right on the verge, and things are happening, ing, today in the world as we speak. So the question I asked earlier, well, wait a minute, I've been told that we don't do those things anymore because he fulfilled them all. They're all fulfilled in him, right? I agree with that, sure. But what does the word fulfilled mean? That's what's important. The word fulfilled does not mean to be disposed of, okay, to throw away, to throw out. It's a Hebraic idiom that sometimes is looked at wrong in English, but fulfilled does not mean discard. It means filled to its fullest. The complete meaning versus the partial meaning. It means the correct meaning. So what we see now with Yeshua in a holiday, we see the correct meaning of that holiday. We see the holiday filled to its fullest meaning. Not done away with, but we can see the whole meaning of why God gave it. Now think about evangelism for one moment. If we celebrate the holiday with our, you know, meet the neighbors, with our Jewish neighbors and friends, and then reveal at the table, look what God said and did, and look what the Messiah is the focus, he's the focal point. Who's going to tell them those things? You are. You are. You know what? When you tell them, they see it. And when they see it in here, in God's word, they see it. But faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word, you need to tell them and show them. And the picture is painted clearly. And then there's an act of faith in the heart. And that's how it works. Fulfilled means we have the full meaning now. The Messiah has come. All the holidays relate to the things that God is doing. They tell us all about him. But they also relate to something else, the land of Israel. Pardon me. The land of Israel. You see, that's not like ancient past thing. That's like current news right on CNN right now, isn't it? Right now. Things are happening in the land of Israel. You ever wonder why that little teeny place that, you know, we have cities in the U.S. that have more people in them than the whole country of Israel. Why is that the focal point? God is calling the attention of the world to his land and his people for what he's about to do there. Because the second coming of the Messiah is not going to be to Irvine or Chicago, where you were last week. It's going to be to Jerusalem. That's the focal point of the end times of history. God is saying, everybody watch Jerusalem. I'm about to do something really big. You're not going to miss it. But which side of the fence are you going to be on? That's the question. But the holidays all relate to Israel. They're celebrated according to the agricultural year, the agricultural cycle in Israel, not where Jewish people live in the world, but what's happening in Israel. Okay, it's a connection to the land. It links the people of Israel to the land of Israel, to the God of Israel, to the Messiah of Israel. That's how you can make the links. And who's going to tell them? You are. You are. Because you know something. Each festival has a different theme, a different theme. Passover, the theme of Passover is redemption. The whole picture at the Passover Seder is redemption. Every year we have people come to faith in Yeshua at a Passover Seder because the picture is painted and they see it. Yes, I see that. I see that. It was really neat this last year at our Seder and in our home. You know, we do it every year. The grandkids are there. They know what not to eat much of and so on. Okay, what stings and burns and, you know they know all that. But we finally, at first they didn't. Surprise. But this year was really special because when we brought the Afikoman back and put it back together, before I began teaching about it, Nathan's what, 10 or so? No, he's 9. he yells out. He says, "I see it! I see it!" And we have guests there and stuff. And he says, "I see it! He said, it's him! It's a picture of him! This is Yeshua! I see it!" I'm going, whoa, that's worth all of this. He sees it! The picture, I'm not explaining it. I haven't gotten to the explanation yet, but he saw it. That's what you want. You paint the picture, they see it. The Holy Spirit does the work of bringing it all together, but it happens when you're celebrating the holiday, when you're talking about it. All of a sudden, people will see it. Passover's theme is redemption. The next one in the cycle would be Shavuot, or Pentecost. What might that theme be? Theme of Shavuot. What happens at Shavuot? What's interesting is that God fulfills the feasts while they're being celebrated. Yeshua died at Passover. The Holy Spirit descended at Shavuot, on the day of, during the celebration of. Half of the book of John is what happened at Passover. Pretty important festival. Pretty important festival. Shavuot's theme is provision. Provision. While there's an agricultural aspect, God provides. He provides for us. We needed His Holy Spirit to be empowered to take the gospel to all the world. The disciples were told, don't go yet. You have lots of knowledge, but there's one more thing. You need to be empowered. The Spirit came right on time. Right on time. Scriptures, so now let's move to these holidays. We're right on the eve of these holidays. And in this prayer walk that's coming up, you will be encountering Jewish people walking their dogs, just going for a walk, and conversations will start. And it's, you know, what are you going to talk about? Well, the holidays are right here. That's what everybody's thinking about, getting ready to do and so on in their home. But in these fall holidays, there's a unique aspect of the Messiah. It's very simple, but very profound. They teach that the Messiah would hold certain offices. You know, we very tritely say, well, you know, Yeshua is prophet, priest, and king. That's exactly what the fall holidays reveal, that he's prophet, priest, and king. You know what? When you get into a debate with Jewish people, our guides in Israel, they're very, very intelligent, very knowledgeable. First thing they'll say is, well, wait a minute, the Messiah can't be priest and king. There are different tribes. You can't do that until you start realizing, oh, yes, you can, okay, because the priest is not of the Aaronic priesthood, but Melchizedek. Oh, yeah, that one. That had no beginning, no end. Oh, yeah. And then they realized that the ancient rabbis did teach that only one person would hold those offices of prophet, priest, and king, and that would be the Messiah. They did say that, didn't they? Let's look at the holidays. Rosh Hashanah. The theme is repentance. Repentance. John Sue just preached a message on repentance not long ago. And there's more coming in these coming days. A call to repentance. The shofar is blown. It's a call to repent. You know, the grace of God is in that? Because the hammer could just come down and end it all. But God's grace says, no. I'm calling you to repent. To turn from sin and return to me. The prophets called us to repent. We talk about that. But you know, Yeshua's first message was that of repentance. Repent, he said, because our English says, because the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? You know what? And John the Baptist was the same one. What that means is the king is here. Get right with God because the king is here right now. Whoa. And the whole picture of Rosh Hashanah is, you know, judgment is coming. But there's some grace of God here right now, and the call to repent is you still have time to get things right with God when you hear that call. Repent. At Rosh Hashanah, repentance prepares the way for the next holiday, which is only a few days later, Yom Kippur. The call of the prophet was to repent. So in that holiday, you see Yeshua as prophet. His first message, repent, return. He's a prophet, Deuteronomy says, and Moses said, you know, a prophet like me will arise. And the implication was a little bit higher than I. Him you will hear. He's prophet. Yeshua holds that office. The ancient, in ancient times, Yeshua debated people about that one. And he and his disciples said, you know what? He's that prophet. He is that prophet. He's that prophet. We're to respond to the prophet's call to repentance. And that leads us to the next office, the priest. The priest. What do you do when you come to the priest? In ancient Israel, what do? When you come to the priest, well, you're dealing with sin. Why are you here? Well, we have this little problem. See, the priest had all the lists of what the requirements were for certain sins, what kind of offerings and sacrifices you had to make. You had to tell a priest why you were there. You had to confess your sin. So the priest then, you come there to deal with sin. Repentance leads us to atonement, Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement. Now, that's the theme of Yom Kippur, atonement, atonement. Now, the entire book of Hebrews is about this subject. But more than that, it's about that Yeshua is not just a priest, but he's our great high priest. Only he can do the things that the great high priest can do. He's the great high priest who makes atonement. He makes the atonement with his blood. Read the book of Hebrews. He mediates like the priest does. He offers himself as the sacrifice. He bears the sin. He's the sin bearer. He makes the atonement. He makes intercession. Only he can do those things. All those are duties of a priest, but the great high priest does all of them on our behalf. The priest is where sin is covered, removed, atoned for, paid for, taken away. The prophet points out and reveals the sin, the need for the atonement, and urges the change. The priest acts upon a free choice. I'm there because I want to be. Nobody made me come here. And then there's confession of sin. And he represents you as the mediator before God, before your heavenly Father. He acts on your behalf. That's what he does. Book of Hebrews, great book, okay? And he makes the sacrifice for you. You don't make it. He makes it, and it's his blood that cleanses you from all sin. And a good thing to talk about is that point right there. Like, where is the atonement today? There is no temple. There is no lamb that dies. And the rabbis have to have an answer for that. And over the last 2,000 years since the destruction of the temple, they say, we pray. And they do. And they should. And we should. We pray. But the Bible says it takes. There is no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. Where is the shedding of blood? It's a good point to start discussing. Where is the shedding of blood? And you know what? I've had many of these discussions, and they're not arguments. People begin to honestly inquire. You know, I don't understand how the blood of one person can atone for that sin. Don't argue. That's a great question. Almost always it starts just about there. And you can say, well, you know, one person like me, that wouldn't work. But he's unique. When it says only begotten, it means the unique, only one of a kind Son of God. The Messiah, only the Messiah can do that. And you can begin to discuss what those things mean. The priest then points to the king. Prophet, priest, and king. And Sukkot, as Sukkot comes, or the Feast of Tabernacles, the theme is thanksgiving. Because in that we see him as king, but in this Thanksgiving festival, it was the great messianic festival. The ancient rabbis all thought that it's at this time of the year that the Messiah will come as king. Guess what? He just may be right. Okay, because he hasn't come as king yet. And what's the theme? Thanksgiving. Why? Because the harvest is in. The entire harvest is in. We're giving thanks. When Yeshua talked about the harvest, he wasn't talking about corn. He's talking about people. There is a day coming that the entire harvest is in. We're done. We've finished. That's when he comes. I don't know that day, but it might be really soon. And he comes as king. He doesn't come as a lamb. He comes as the king. King of kings and Lord of lords. This is the most joyful of all the festivals. You don't want to miss the Lake Elsinore. You know, Lake Elsinore, over the years, has not been one of my favorite places. Okay? I used to go water skiing there. You can walk on the water there, okay? But not, it's not a miracle. But the Lord has opened some interesting doors for us to be there with the people who work there and so on. And that's where we're supposed to be, believe me. And we're going to celebrate there. And they've given us permission to play our music loud, have some fun, and dance and celebrate. And invite people who are camping around there to come and join us. So come on out and have some fun. And we'll celebrate. And we'll wave our lulavs, okay? Have a great time. But the high priest, our great high priest, personally represents us. How? Into the presence of the king. And Yeshua does it all. 1, 2, and 3. Prophet, priest, and king. Atonement allows us to go into his presence. That's what the book of Hebrews is all about. Because of his atonement, it says you have been invited to come, how? Boldly into his presence. What does that mean? You have a right to be there. You have been invited to come into his presence. And you know, the first reaction of people is, but I'm not worthy. And how right that is. However, Yeshua said, you know what? I took care of that problem. I invite you to come into my presence. The book of Hebrews, this time of the year, is a book you should all be reading again and again and again. Atonement will lead us into his presence. Well, are there any other prophetic aspects to these things? I have good news and bad news. What do you want to hear first? Okay, every year about this time or so, I have this box at home. It's a big box. It's a big box. In that box are all of my notes about the holidays. It's a big box. And the fall holidays are about that thick. Okay? There's a lot to say about these holidays. A lot to say. And you can never say it all. And that's why we do it over and over, every year, over and over again. But things that we kind of hear, you know, we don't connect them to where they belong sometimes. Like the shofar. And how is that connected to certain holidays in the New Testament? Well, we talk about the last trump. The last trump. You know what? That's a Rosh Hashanah term that Paul uses. It's the Tekiah Gadolah, the last trump. The 100th sound at Rosh Hashanah is announcing the second coming. He links that holiday to the announcement of the second coming. As we blow the shofar, a part of that is, you know what? He's coming. It's not just a call to repent. It's a call to repent because he's coming soon. And you know what? At Passover, on the holiday, he died. At Shavuot, on the holiday, the Spirit came. Ooh, just maybe what might happen at the fall holiday that hasn't happened yet. He's coming right on time. Maybe he's given us some hints. I don't know the year, but maybe the time of year has been given to us. Maybe. We can solve the problem, though, right now. Matthew 24. Okay, well, let's just solve it. What does Yeshua say about the timing of his coming? Yeah, he said, be ready. He said, be ready. Be ready. Because I might have a little surprise for you. I might come for you a little early. Okay? I mean, you're not expecting it. So be ready. Be ready. That's his message. But the day is coming. And somehow and in some way, Paul says, and by the way, read Romans 9, 10, and 11, that somehow and in some way there's a national coming to faith of Israel. That somehow all Israel will be saved. Somehow that's going to happen. Somehow it's the second coming, which will be in Jerusalem. Who welcomes him? Matthew 24 and 25. Believing Jews, saying, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We're going to have the real Palm Sunday parade that time. And he's welcomed by a Jewish people to a Jewish city as the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. That hasn't happened yet. Get ready. Be watching the TV. Okay? Yeshua fulfilled the office of prophet. He's fulfilling the office of priest. He's interceding for us, and he will be king, and it will be soon. One of my favorite verses. Okay, as we go to the end of the book, you know, we know how it all ends. It ends really good. In Revelation 11, as king, the announcement, the blowing of the shofar, the announcement, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Messiah, and he shall reign forever and ever. And you know what? As you go on this prayer walk, that's the message you have to give to people who need to hear that. But that day is coming, and it's coming soon, and they can be there rejoicing with the King of the Jews, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Let's pray. Our God and God of our fathers, we thank you and praise you and bless you for your word and for these holidays that all picture and focus on the Messiah, Yeshua. Give us understanding, I pray, that we can communicate clearly and accurately these things, these truths, to people who need to hear. Lord, I just want to thank you and praise you that in celebrating these holidays over and over, year after year, that each year we know a little more. We move a little deeper in our understanding and how awesome you are and how lovingly you have revealed to us who you are and what you have done and how totally helpless we are to do any of those things. All of these things you have done, and you've done them for us because you love us. Each one is a demonstration of your great love. Lord, I pray that we would react in that and spread that love to others and be an example of a believer. And instead of arguing and debating and pointing out the faults and errors of everybody else, we can love them and build bridges of understanding and be kind and nice and demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, meekness, and self-control. And that by doing that, they might see Yeshua in us. And as Paul said, the hope of glory. He is the hope, the only hope, the only answer, the only solution. And we know the answer. Lord, open doors of opportunity, divine appointments that we might be able to share those things that we do know with people who don't. Give us discernment. But above all, I pray for open doors. And I thank you for these who know and who can tell. And for the call and the great commission to go into all the world. Lord, I thank you again for our little meeting last night, of people who sat around that table all sharing the same vision that not only are we supposed to go into all the world, but we do it. And people at that table have been going all over the world. So be it with us. Thank you. And may this holiday season be blessed by you, be anointed by you. And may we celebrate you in Yeshua's name. Amen.